It's good to see a good crowd out this evening and appreciate the opportunity to talk tonight. Tonight's lesson is for the kids, and they're probably not even listening yet, so we're going to chat real quick before they're listening. On Sunday night, we actually have more kids here than we have adults, which is a blessing. It's awesome. And I was thinking that we make the kids sit through two services on Sunday, and they really probably don't get a lot out of the service portion. Besides class and the singing and the prayers, they probably a lot of times have no idea what Brent is talking about. They have no idea whoever's talking what they're talking about. They're learning reverence. They're learning discipline. They're probably picking up some things, but for the most part, I don't think they necessarily comprehend what's going on. So tonight, the lesson's for the kids. And there's more here than the adults. Like I said, I hope they're not listening, because if they realized that they outnumber us, we might have trouble. I picture the treat lady getting attacked after services. All of her kids gone. We'd have to sit in the pews and wait for them to get done playing door tag. And raise your hand, adults, if you played door tag growing up. Be honest. I know some. It's still a thing. And it's cool. And I saw Reese Bridges cheating, just like Kyle used to cheat the other night. And it's amazing how nothing changes. But the lesson's for the kids tonight. And I'm going to start, we're not to the kids portion yet. Proverbs 22:6 is for us. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. I'm going to read it again. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. It's a very comforting verse. And it's a very scary verse, right? So the title of tonight's lesson is What Our Kids Need to Know. So kids, it's still not your turn. Parents, there's three things we're involved in. Instruction, encouragement, and discipline. We need to instruct our kid according to the Bible. We don't need it to be all encouragement, and we don't need it to be all discipline, right? But those are what we're in charge of. So you adults now, you're off the hook. You can do what kids do during this time normally. So, kids. Now maybe the kids are listening. If you need to be defined as a kid, I thought about this. You live at home still. That's how I defined you. So, if you're living at home with mom and dad, you have to listen. So, Sean, Brooke, Claire, Henry, and Ella, you're the youth. That's part of the group tonight. And the first thing we're going to talk about seven, is number one, you are made in the image of God. Okay? God made you. You are creation. You are not a chance. You're not the product of a combustion, amino acids. And this is something you're going to be surrounded by, for particularly if you're in school, for the next 18 years. And that's not going to end when you get out of school. If anything, it's getting worse. What's interesting is how silly you kids think it is that we would come from a monkey, right? That makes absolutely no sense when you're a kid. It's silly. It's funny. We laugh about it. But for some reason, as we get older and we get wiser and you get into the educational system, those kind of things start making sense. So Everett, Lilia, and Kaylee, you are made by God. Kristen, Caitlin, and Caden. I know where most people sit. You are the result of an intelligent design, an eternal purpose. We read this throughout Genesis, right? You all know the story of Genesis. It's one of the first things we learn as kids. God created us. He simply spoke us into existence. Inside all of us children, inside every kid, there's a desire to find and know our Creator. Ecclesiastes talks about it in 3:11. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in our heart. So Dean, I don't know if Dean's here, but you are made in the image of God, and our Creator wants to find you. Acts 17:17 speaks to this as well. God wanted them to look for him and perhaps search all around for him and find him, because he is not far from any of us. So kids, as you're searching for God, it is okay to wander. It is okay to search. God speaks to that. Hudson and Piper. I know where they are. There's a purpose for our existence and an explanation for the way things are. If you search, you will find him. That's part of God's plan. By the way, some of these verses I'm reading, they're from children's Bibles if they sound a little paraphrased. So number two, and you guys are welcome to say it, not you adults, but if we're searching for God and we're searching for purpose, where do we find it? You guys are quiet. Because I'm talking to you. You guys aren't this quiet when I'm not talking to you. Okay, we find it in the Bible, right? We're made by God, and if he has a will and he's put in us a desire to find him, to find the meaning of life, if you will, that's a popular phrase, this is where we find him. Evelyn and Polly, next time your teacher gives you a homework assignment, just quote Ecclesiastes 12:12. Say, Brad said it's okay, and this is the quote. Be warned, the writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is weary to the body. Just say that and walk out and tell them your mom said it's okay. But this is talking about books of the world. This is not a book of the world. Maggie, if you're here, God has not gone to the trouble to produce a book over thousands of years that is unimportant, that is uninspired. April and Trudy, any book, such as the Bible, that claims to be infallible and a standard for eternal judgment is worthy of your attention. Thomas and Betty, this is, unlike that verse I just read about worldly books, this is mandatory reading. The only way the Bible will ever be of any value to it is if you read it. Psalms 119:11 speaks of it as a treasure. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Treasure the word, Noah. Ignorance is not bliss. I decided not to give that to any kid because I thought they might be offended if I said that. So ignorant is not bliss, nor is it an excuse, kids. Josiah, do not wait until you've messed up to find out what the Bible says you should have done. Gloria, take the words in the Bible as commandments, not suggestions. Do you kids know the difference between a commandment and a suggestion? Tristan, where are you? Tristan's eating dinner. And I'm going to give you, not right now, in my story. So in my story, Tristan's eating dinner. And I thought, who would give the command and who would give the suggestion? So I thought Adriel probably gave the suggestion and Heather gave the command. Or vice versa, I don't know. But this is the command. Tristan, eat your dinner. Okay? Suggestion. Tristan, you know, eat what you can, till you're full, whatever you feel like. So kids, that's the difference between a command and a suggestion. In the Bible, the things that your God, our Lord, says are not things he hopes we will do. They are commands so that we are safe, so that Audrey and Lily go to heaven. Kids, the Bible is the word of God. Follow it. Number three, Yasmin, Belle, and Aurora. There is only one church. On the way to church, we only live about 5 miles from here. On the way to church, we pass about 15 churches, all of them with different beliefs. We even pass one church that has a big sign. It's right next to our house, and it says, "Many beliefs, one God." And it has all the religious symbols for all the different churches. And that's actually true. There are many religions, many beliefs, and there is one God. The difference is, if you believe that there's a one God, and you believe that his word is in the Bible, and you believe his will is given in the Bible, you will come to the conclusion that there is one church, one religion. Once you, James, and there's a few of them, so whoever you want. James, once you let man's opinions of what should be, you will end up with all these different churches, as we see in our society. Jesus died in order to purchase his church, his one and only church. Jesse, all who are saved are added to it. Adriana, there are none who are saved who are not in it. And Jason, Is this your choice of what church to join, or is it God's choice? The world tells us, join the church of your choice, right? It's very popular, wherever you feel comfortable. When are we given a choice in the Bible? The choice has already been made regarding the church. Brandon, if you choose to serve Christ, you must choose his church. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body, there's one spirit, and there's one hope. The fourth point. There are wicked people in the world, kids. And this is hard. This was kind of a sad one because kids usually like everyone, right? Kids come out very unbiased and open and friendly. And this is a great quality. So at some point as a child, it's disappointing to learn that there are bad people in the world. But we're not really going to focus on the bad people of the world because as time goes on, those are actually the easier ones to identify. Those are not really going to be the issues in our kids' lives. Marissa and Brooklyn, it's more disappointing to find out that some of these folks who are bad people, as I just mentioned, are going to be some of your closest friends. It's hard to accept that people that are enjoyable, that are our friends, can be wicked, evil, or bad. Kate, the Bible warns against making friends with wicked men. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be fooled. Bad friends corrupt good habits. Proverbs 22:24, don't make friends with someone who gets angry easily. Don't spend time with someone who has a bad temper. So every kid here, choose your closest friends carefully. Okay? If your closest friends are not here tonight, and this goes back to mom and dad, I just keep looking at this Jewish slide that Reg left up here. Let me close it. If your closest friends are not here tonight, children, you need to do something about it. So who's going to influence our kids, right? We're talking about friends. Their friends, other parents, siblings, religious instructors, educators. Desmond and Ava, there will be a time when truth and righteousness may cause a problem. Truth and righteousness may cause a separation. There was a verse led, not this Sunday, but last Sunday morning. And it's Matthew 10:34. It says, don't think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to make this happen. A son will be against his father. A daughter will be against her mother. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A person's enemies against members of his own family. And you could add to this, he will draw a sword, best friends against best friends. So Bentley and Blakely, beware, but be friendly. Life is much more pleasant and less stressful when we try to assume the best about people. But even Christ was careful. In John 2:23-25, it says, Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Many people believed in him because they saw the miracle he did. But Jesus did not believe in them because he knew them all. He did not need anyone to tell him about people. Jesus knew what was in a person's mind. Charlie, he exhorts you to be the same. Listen, he said in Matthew 10. Listen, I am sending you out, and you will be like sheep among wolves. So be smart as snakes, but also be like doves and do nothing wrong. Charlotte and Clara, you must choose your friends wisely and carefully. Be certain that you give men and women the time of day and the opportunity to prove themselves worthy of your trust before you rely on them. And then what a great study to have with our kids, examples of friends in the Bible. Here's some examples of poor friends found in the Bible. Job's friends forsook him during his trials, right? And they were friends. Delilah was a false friend to Samson. It's a good study on romance and how that can cloud your mind. Judas betrayed Jesus. They were friends. And then there's abundant examples of great friendships. Ruth and Naomi, what a great study for girls. Jonathan and David, a couple buddies. Jesus and the 12, a group of friends. Jesus, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, family, and the friendships. So when choosing a friend, kids, what do we look for? And these are general, but I'm speaking to the kids. A person who brings out the best in you. Someone who you respect. Someone who will tell you the truth even when it hurts. An individual who has convictions and stands up for them. A person who you can count on no matter what. And most importantly, someone who loves Jesus and his church. So number five, when you get married, God wants you to stay together forever. Sounds like a long time, doesn't it? Okay. So why are we talking about this? You know, I figured the bulk of these kids, there's like 70 here, the bulk of these kids are like 12 and down. So why are we talking about marriage? Because you can't start too soon. Nothing has a greater impact on the church. And I have to apologize to the folks out there because Bentley is deciding between Charlotte and Clara. He's off the market. So you other ladies, quit trying. Charlotte and Clara had me write that in there. Well, God has made provisions for it. Why spend so much time talking about why we can separate and all the ins and outs when there's hundreds of scriptures that speak to the marriage and how to make it work? Taylor and Ellie, our world would want you to think that if it doesn't work out, if marriage doesn't work, we'll just separate. I'm telling you, kids, if you choose your friends wisely, and we go back to the list we just used, you will not be dealing with that. Reese and Colton, if you choose a mate who you respect, if you choose a mate who tells you the truth, if you choose a mate who has conviction, if you choose a mate who you can count on no matter what, and most importantly, if you choose a mate who loves Jesus and his church, and if you love Jesus and his church, you'll be a Christian, Reese and Colton, you will be doing God's will, and you will stay together forever. God says you can make it work, but it does require total commitment to God. William, baptism saves us, and baptism is important. You cannot be saved without baptism. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All power in heaven and on earth is given to me. So go and make followers of all the people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Holy Spirit. Malheur, kids. Just kind of lumped you. Hey, Matt told me to make it short, so. Baptism puts us into Christ. Acts 2:38. And it's one of the first verses we learn as children. And this is a children's Bible. Change your hearts and lives and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, and we don't talk about this much with kids, and I don't know exactly when it fits in, but lastly, sin is black, hell is very bad, and eternity is forever. Those are hard concepts for kids. Matthew, sin stains the soul. What is sinning? It's not doing God's command. Emily, there is no such thing as a little sin. God will punish sin. Jose and JJ, just like when you get in trouble with mom and dad, God will punish sin as well. Reese, a popular idea is that God is too good and too loving to punish sin. But that is not from the Bible. Jake, remember the flood. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Mia, hell is not a fairy tale. Ask your parents about it tonight. We don't talk about it much, but it's a good story for children. And Gabriel, sin is death, but the gift of God is heaven. So there's seven things that I want the kids to hear, and they're all simple and they're all basic. And the seven things are that Jasmine, you are made in the image of God, and God made the world. Kira, know that the same God gave you the Bible, and it is His word, and not just suggestions, but commands. Ella, there is only one church if you say you are a follower of Jesus. Haley, there are bad people in the world. Choose your friends very carefully. Lana, God, she's so cute. Lana, God does not want any separation when married, and it is pleasing to God when you marry a strong Christian. Baptism is important. Sin is black. Hell is very bad. And eternity is forever. So sorry if I forgot any kids. Man, I went over that list. I highlighted them, checked them off. So if there's a kid here, sorry. You'll be in my next lesson. So the question to the kids here, and I think most of you can understand, is what kind of son or daughter are you going to be? God has a preference of the type of son or daughter He wants you to be. Your parents have a preference of the kind of son or daughter they want you to be based on the Bible. But ultimately, kids, it's going to be up to you. I'm excited about the kids we have here. So I hope the kids paid attention. I think they did. I think they started waiting for their name. I think you parents started waiting for your kid's name. And I'll find out if I missed it afterwards. But this was for the kids. And God's word is not complicated. When I was doing this study, you know, it's something that we any adult would do a lesson on. But it's not complicated, and we are the ones who complicate it. It's very simple to understand. God doesn't wish anyone to perish. So, in wrapping it up, if you want to know the Lord and you want to become a member of His body, which we talked about briefly, which is baptism, which is important to become a member of His body, or if you have any questions or need anything, this would be the time to come forward as we stand and sing.